All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read 1 through 6. And then we'll back up and see if we can unpack a little bit here. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now you guys know why I'm saying what I'm saying. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also were trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, are not afraid with any amazement. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there. So we're going to work on the women today, the wives. I know. So, we'll pray for you too, Roger. So anyway, how about all of us? We should have done that to start with. Okay. So here we are, right smack in the middle of this. I'm like, why did I do 1 Peter again? I got to start learning what to do. But the review so far, is, we're going to make it quick today. The review is the theme on the whole book is how to live for Christ through suffering. So now you may be asking, so how does this being submitting to my husband have to deal with suffering? Just think about it a little bit. Okay? You probably don't have to think hard. So how does it fit? Well, we're going to look at it today. Chapter 1. Real quickly, review. The trial of your faith being more precious than gold. We don't like going through sufferings and trials, but you know what? The Lord does, because when we do, it refines us. And so He wants us to see us ace it and go through the other side, because it's going to help us to be the person that He wants us to be. We don't like going through it. There's things I've went through that's given me heartburn and kept me up at night, done all sorts of things, and I'm glad I'm through them. I don't want to go through them again. But I did learn from it. And one thing it did do was pull me closer to the Lord. I will tell you that. And so even when I see people like Pastor Randy go through their brain tumor and the things he's going through, and I'm like, will God allow that? And why does God allow that? And sometimes God allows things in our life to pull us closer to Him, even if it kills us. If it pulls us closer to Him. He loves us, and He'll do whatever it takes. You know, I mentioned in my prayer that people are on our salvation list up here. God, do whatever it takes to get them to the point that they see the gospel and they accept it. That's quite a prayer. You say that about your own kids, and you had better be prepared that God would even take them home. But at the same time, if that's what it takes to get them saved, then by all means, it was worth whatever trial they went through. So the trial of our faith is most precious to the Lord, more than gold, more than fine gold. In chapter 2, the Christian is to follow Christ in His sufferings. You're not going to get out of sufferings in the book of 1 Peter. And then in chapter 3, which we're starting, the theme of that is the Christian is to suffer for righteousness' sake. So righteousness goes in your blank on this one. The first blank you had was gold. And so, again, let's look at this. Number 1, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. I've already read it. It starts off right off the bat. Likewise, ye wives, And let me just stop there. So likewise, ye wives, the key word, or let me keep going. I'm sorry. I said I was going to stop, but I got to keep going. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And the key word here is, guess what? No?
Wives.
No? Subjection. So subjection goes into blank. Now the likewise refers back to chapter 2 and verse 13. So let's read chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. So that's everybody specifically. So we need to be in subjection there. And then drop down to verse 18 of chapter 2. And it says, servants, be what? Subject, in subjection, basically, to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also the froward, which is hard to do. And then verse 23 of that chapter 2 says, talking about Christ, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So what did, who did Christ go to? Who did he subject himself to? To God, the Father. So when he had a complaint, he just took it to God the Father. He didn't take it back to man. So even Christ here is subject to God the Father. Okay? So Paul also addresses ladies in Ephesians 5, 22-24. So hold your hand here and let's go to Ephesians. So maybe you just gotta, maybe this is getting under your skin. You're like, well, maybe this is just Peter. Well, let's go back and see what Paul says. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22-24. I'm going to have one of you read that for me.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Okay. So again, not that we're trying to pick on wives here, because if you're reading what we're, the words that we're reading, it's everybody's subject to somebody. Even Christ is subject to God the Father. And so Paul even addresses the same thing. He's addressing women in Ephesians 5, 22-24. And then back in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, and verse 17 is another group that we're going to look at that's basically in subjection to. And if you're taking notes and you got some blanks here, I'll give you the blanks. And let me just read the verse and you can probably put them in yourself. Chapter 2, verse 17 of 1 Peter says, honor all men. Is that being in subjection to? Basically, yeah, honoring them would fit in that group. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. So subjection is just not one area. I would say it's probably all of these. You need to honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. And again, that's not easy to do. Right now, you know, we don't have a king, but we do have a president. And even though I'd like to drop kick the guy, he's still the president. I need to honor him. Or at least honor the position. Bottom line, if we drop kicked him, he probably wouldn't know it anyway. You know? Not, that's besides the point. I shouldn't have said that. That was below the belt. Oh well. So, my point I'm trying to get across is, you ladies, we're not trying to pick on you, because next week we're going to be back on the men, and I'll beat on them a little bit. But anyway. Roger, can you fill in next week? No. If I was smart, I'd have had you fill in this week. That's the deal. I'm not that smart. Okay. So, that's why the likewise. That's why we see that right off the bat. Likewise, ye wives. Okay, let's drop down. So now, the next paragraph says, you will notice that the Lord always starts with the women first. He does in Genesis chapter 3. You know, when they had the big sin issue with Adam and Eve, who does God address first with that? Eve. Of course, she was the fall. Well, kind of. Adam didn't have to go with it, though, so they're both at fault. She was tricked, he wasn't. I'll say that. So, also in Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, and here in 1 Peter, it starts out with the women first. Go ahead and turn back to Colossians chapter 3. Have I ever told you that Colossians is a really good book? Okay. I'll have to teach that some. We should go through that, shouldn't we? Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. But then it says, husbands, love your wives. So the order normally is women first. So even God is, he always puts the women first. So if you're a little rattled today already, just remember this. God is always putting the women first, and a lot of the times he does speak with them. And especially when he speaks with them together, husband and wives. Okay, so back to 1 Peter, you'll notice that God always addresses the women first, usually in the Bible. And then it says, notice that when Peter is addressing these women back in 1 Peter chapter 3, he's addressing saved women. Okay? But they are married to, if you paid attention, lost men. So, I mean, he's just not bashing women at this point and trying to tell them, you have got to obey your husband. He has a purpose in why we have this in the Bible, or why the Lord put this in this book. And if you don't get anything out of today, you just have to remember this. I learned this a long time ago. God wastes no space in his book. There's a reason why the things are in this book, because God wants us to have them. Okay? God wants us to know them. God wants them to apply them in our life, and God wants us to be aware of them, okay? So that's why they're here. So he's addressing saved women married to lost men primarily. And you know what? Is that a big problem today? Oh my gosh, that's huge. It's always been huge. Even in Paul's and Peter's day, it was a big deal. Remember Timothy in the Bible? His mother was a believer, but his father was what? He wasn't. He was there, but he's probably one of those drop you off at the church type guys. In fact, you know, I was dropped off at church a lot, and I'm going to praise God for that. And my mom went more than my dad. My dad would show up once in a while, but not so much. But, you know, at least they dropped me off. You know, they dropped me on that. I thank God for that. But anyway, it's a big problem. Women married to lost men, they want to do what's right, and their husband dragging them back all the time. Okay? And it's going to cause some major suffering to take place. Now you see the connection why we have this in the book. Okay? Again, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. I think it's in your handout. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let me read 14 through 18. And we all know this. I'm speaking to the choir. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And let's keep going. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay. Well, let me keep going. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. When you are hooked up with, married to, shacked up with, whatever, with an unbeliever, it is going to cause you some major problems either way, whether the wife is lost or the husband is lost. Either way, you're going to cause some problems. We know that. But basically, back on our handout, how can a woman submit to a man who is not in allowing her to live for God? I have known women that have been married to lost men that will not let their wives give to the church, and specifically not tithe to the church. And it just floors the woman because she has a desire to give financially. Well, she's locked basically by what her husband tells her. And she needs to obey what her husband says. And same thing with going to church, her time at the church, everything really, really depends. She needs to be in subjection to her husband, even though he doesn't want her to be there. She needs to obey him. Well, that's going to cause some suffering. And how can a woman submit to a man who doesn't obey God's laws himself? But she's supposed to. And she is supposed to let God work on her husband with a combination of the two. He has a good chance to get saved. So let them see Christ in you. And again, I'm talking to the choir in here. Okay. Now I know men that have watched their wives, and as a result of watching their wives, they ended up getting saved. We have some really good friends that go to Midtown Baptist Temple. Some of you may know them. They were both lost. The husband grew up a stout Catholic. Well, his wife gets saved. And he's like, I'm not going to church with my wife. She's out there doing her thing. But after about 6 months, she came in and she talked to the pastor. And I know this because the pastor told me and the man told me. He goes, I don't know what my wife has, but I want it. And this was the Catholic guy that was religious. He didn't need anything else. He had everything that God wanted him to have. And now he is a complete different guy. He's in the church. He's a teacher in the church. Both of them, they've served the Lord for the last 30, 40 years. Their life, you know, not rosy, but I'll say this. They're a good Christian couple. I also know a couple that same thing. The wife gets saved. The man's on a business trip. He comes home and finds his wife completely changed. And he thinks, oh my gosh, I just went away for a few days. I come home and I find my wife has joined a cult. That's what he thought. After a while, kind of the same thing. Between her working on him and the Lord working on him, he ends up getting saved. So, I mean, I've seen it in my own personal life. I have examples. And you guys probably do, too. Maybe it's your example. That's Randy and Julie. I forgot about that. Yes, she gets saved, and he was somewhat... She was the Catholic, though, of the group. I don't think he was. And I will say this. They went in when they got married and talked to the priest... And it put such a sour note on Julie that I think from that day forward, she started looking She may not have known she was looking, but when she saw the real deal, she jumped on it. And that priest was the one that kind of got the ball rolling in her life. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? A lost person getting somebody else interested in serving the Lord. And yet we see it all the time. We see people bring people to church and they think they're the ones that's on fire. Come to find out, they're not. The one they brought is the one that ends up. Our own Mickey Fox, her sister, started going through discipleship. And she wanted to know what it was about. And so she just sat in. She goes, "Can I sit in with you just to see what discipleship's about?" Not saved. It intrigued her. She ends up getting saved. She ends up going through discipleship. Her sister drops out. Her sister's basically, I don't know what their relationship with her, and I'm on tape, so I don't know what's going on there. But Mickey Fox is all the way went up through HBI, and she wants the Lord to use her. So, would other people being the witness to get you to the Lord is crucial in our lives, because we need that. Sometimes the people stick around. Sometimes the people that get you there are here one day and gone the next. But anyway, so I know that. So we need to, and so that's a person married to a lost man, specifically in this chapter, but it works on saved husbands too. Okay? Because, you know, sometimes we can be rascals ourselves. And so, once in a while. So, back to our handout. So, even if you're married to a saved man, again, let your subjection be to him, because that's biblical, and let your actions show him what kind of person he needs to be. Now, again, I need to hear this myself, because there's times when I'm kind of out there too. But anyway, our next blank is, in the passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, he uses Sarah in the Old Testament for an example. Okay? In fact, I just read that. Verse 6, even as Sarah, verse 6, who's there? Anybody at that verse? What's the next word? Even as Sarah... what? Obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So he uses Sarah in the Old Testament for an example. So Sarah submitted to Abe. It's on your handout. Even when honest Abe wasn't so honest. I think I'm getting my honest Abes mixed up. Who's honest Abe? Lincoln, okay. He couldn't, he chopped down the cherry tree, right? But you know, when you think about Abraham in the Bible, oh, I'm sorry. Who did I say? Lincoln. So, Honest Abe was the one called Honest Abe. But I guess Washington was Honest Abe because he confessed he chopped down the tree. Did I get it right that time? Yes, Tom, think about it, don't you? Okay. So anyway, we got several Abes here. But how about Abraham in the Bible? Was he always honest? No, he wasn't. And yet, he's one of the fathers of the Jewish religion. I mean, he's right up there. I mean, he's up there with Moses. They call him Father Abraham. But Sarah submitted to Abe even when honest Abe wasn't so honest. Even when Abraham asked her to go along with telling that guy back in Genesis chapter 12:11 that she was his what? Sister. That's pretty low, isn't it? Now, I've done some low things. But that, I'm like, I just can't fathom that one. That one just blows my mind. And yet, did she do it? Now, think about this. You're married to this guy, and he tells the guy that he's in his land, he goes, well, this is my sister. It's not my wife, it's my sister. And this guy takes her into his harem to marry her. And she goes along with it. I kind of doubt if any of you would, I mean, you might. I kind of doubt if anybody would do that today. But Sarah does this. Did God take care of the situation? He did. He didn't allow that guy to put a hand on her, did he? Okay? So she let God take care of the situation. She submitted herself to her husband Abraham. And ultimately she was submitting herself unto the Lord. And the Lord took care of her. And he did. Did goes in your blank. He took care of Sarah. He also took care of Abraham, but he took care of Sarah first. But Abe didn't learn from this lesson because he did it again in Genesis chapter 20, verse 2. That's the real kicker. Now for all you goofy guys here, when we've done things wrong,
it worked once, we just keep using it.
I can't believe he did it again. I mean, think about this. I can't believe he did it again. He didn't learn his lesson. And Sarah what? She submitted again. And did God take care of her? And he took care of her again. Okay? That's why she used the perfect example of a submission here. But Abe didn't learn from his lesson. He did it again. And Sarah submitted again. Ladies, if you're in this situation, here's what I'm going to say. Be careful of your words and let your actions do your talking. And even if your husband is a Christian, and even if he is you got a blank, you fill it in. I'll just put it in for my wife, because I don't want it to get worse than this. Jerk. I spelled it with all caps too on mine. And even if your husband is a jerk, and even if he does it more than once, you need to submit and let God work on him. And in my handout here I said, and or work him over. Okay. I found out when you have an axe to grind about somebody, it's always best just to go take it to the Lord and let him deal with it, because he'll work him over better than you ever could. He'll do it. Okay? So how can he submit to a jerky husband? Here is my official biblical answer for you today. Do it as unto the Lord. Okay? So turn back over. Keep your hand here. Let's go back to, you know, this favorite book that I keep using all the time. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 through 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to who? To the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that who? The who?
The Lord."
Not the group. "The Lord, that ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." So that should give you a little comfort, because that just tells you the Lord is not going to respect the husband over the wife, because God is no respecter of persons. He's going to do what's right all the way through. If you, as the women, do what's right, God will do what's right and bless you for obeying him. So that is my biblical answer. How do you submit to a jerky husband? You do it as unto the Lord, and let him deal with it, and then let him reward you. It may cost you some suffering, but you'll still be rewarded. Okay, so hopefully I'm through that. Nobody threw tomatoes or anything at me, so I think I'm doing good. So then it talks about, back in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, about the woman, about adorning herself. So now we're getting into what to wear, kind of. Okay, so what should the women wear? Well, number one, here's what the Bible says. Dress modestly. Okay, and then I will throw this out. Dress as the occasion permits. You're going to a wedding, you're going to a dress-up event, you're going to dress different than you do other days of the week. Okay? You know, it used to be when people went to church, they dressed up. Some people still do. It used to be my grandparents, when they went to town, they dressed up. They lived in the country. When they went to just, you know, town like Harrisonville, they put their good clothes on. They didn't go all dirty. That's not the case today. But so dress modestly, dress as the occasion permits. See, I think you get a kick out of this. Don't be a, and there's two blanks there. Who is the most outrageous woman that dresses the weirdest or outrageous that you guys know of? And fill in the blank. I'll just tell you who I put in mine.
Hillary Clinton.
No. No. She just tries to be a man. The person I put in was Tammy Faye. I don't think... Well, there was that lady that was on that that show in Cleveland where the guy, the talk show host now, what's his name? You know the one I'm talking about? Let's Make a Deal. Who does that talk show now?
Wayne.
I'm thinking of a white guy.
Drew Carey.
You see, what show is he on now?
Price is Right.
Okay, Price is Right. So, remember on the show he used to be on, there was a lady that just dressed just
Mimi.
Okay. I don't think we have any Mimis in here, but I'm like, that lady was just a little over the top. Tammy Faye was a little over the top in many ways, but it's like, you know, she would cry on cue and her face melt. You know, and not that I was watching them much, but that's wild. So don't be a Tammy Faye. D. Bob Jones was an old time preacher. He had this saying: "If the barn needs paint, paint it." Okay, there are some women that some makeup is going to help them. I'll just say that. Okay. Same way, you know, there's probably makeup, there's some men probably makeup would help. Probably hair would help, but you know, you get what you get, right? Okay, we'll have a little fun with it. But the best way to dress is by showing your virtue. 2 Peter 1, let's go over to 2 Peter. That's just a book over to the right. 2 Peter 1, we're going to look at verse 3 first. It says, in fact, this is back up, verse 1. Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Virtue is what I'm going to look at. The best way to dress is by showing your virtue. Let's drop down to verse 5. Well, let's keep going with verse 4, just because I like it. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. I like that verse. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. I like that verse. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I will at some point. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. So it's another list here. But what I'm talking about, we need to dress with virtue. We need to put it on. Okay? And make this a plan for your life. And again, this is not just for the women. This is for all of us. Well, the next part's for the women. Become a virtuous woman. Okay? And two verses for that. One's in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. So let's look at that. 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10 says this, "In like manner, also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Okay? It also says, verse 11, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection." So, again, a little bit of both, but women need to have virtue. Okay? And then we know the story of the virtuous woman back in Proverbs 31, and they are rare. They are rare. Why is that? Because women do not put on virtue. And in our society today, people will run over you with a Mack truck before they will put virtue on, because they're going to do what they want to do. But you people, you women, especially in here, that are Christians, again, and I'm speaking to the choir, you know the role. You know the role that God has given you and how important it is. So women, God has given you a most important role on this earth. Most of the time, our society has failed to see your importance and miss your true worth. But by walking worthy, let your life show your importance, and you will be rewarded for what really counts at the judgment seat of Christ. And so I know, even in my own life, and I'll just say this here, you know, I've taken my wife for granted. She's put herself in subjection to me over and over. And I'm not saying she doesn't give me her opinion. And I'm not saying I don't listen to her, because I really try to. Once in a while, I blow it. I admit it. And it pains me. There's going to be times I'm going to have to answer for that myself at the judgment seat of Christ. And so I want to stand here and say right off the bat, I'm preaching what God's Word says. There's sometimes when you preach God's Word that you feel like a heel. And there's many times I have blown treating my wife the way I should. And so we'll see how gracious she is to me the next time you see me. If she's dotted any of my I's since then. But she does have a whole week for them to heal up on me. So, but next week we'll work on the husbands a little bit. So I would thought about doing them both together, but I'm like, no, I probably need to spend some time on the guys, because I can probably work on that. So, but what I do really want you ladies in here to know, your life is very important to your husbands, to your families, to the people around. Now, there may be times when you don't feel that way, but you are, and you're important to the Lord. So keep that in mind. Number one, be in subjection to the Lord first, and everything else will fall in place. We'll go from there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. Lord, I know this is a passage that a lot of people don't want to hear, and yet the ones that hear it graciously are the ones that are already doing it. So I do thank you for our wives that are in here, and the women in our life that are virtuous women, Lord. And I do thank you for them, and I just pray that we can train up young ladies coming up where they will be virtuous women, Lord, so they can be the spouses for our sons, that they could be the women in the church, that they can be people in our society that will have the testimony that our society needs to share you with the world. So I pray for that, and I just pray that for the women in this church and the young women in this church, that they would be virtuous women and they'd be a testimony for you. I ask all this today, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
You almost tried to tell the Harrison Butker speech.
Tell me that again.
You're about riding the tails of Harrison Butler.
Am I? Well, you know. and I'll get flogged. Yeah, I would. But you know what? I'll power to it.
Here we go.